And we're back here on Damn Radio. Still here with Josh here. Uh-oh, I didn't press pause quick enough. There we go.
Little wagon wheel for you.
Yeah, that's a good one too, though.
Yeah, we switched seats, so now you're in the driver's seat.
Yeah, for a minute. I'm trying to get this thing signed out.
And, yeah, I got a bunch of screens pulled up there. Probably should have gave a little sign out before I left, but I never even, well, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
That's all my listeners here know that I love them.
Yeah, Friday night fluidity. I love it. It's,
heck yeah,
I could go late. I could end early. I love it. You're taking some pressure off me, actually, Josh.
Well, that's great.
Man, I like having back and forth.
Yeah,
and,
me too, man.
I don't know. I'm not an inviter. I'm not that guy that's going to be in somebody's email. Hey, man, will you come? Hey, man, will you come? You know what I mean? And that's I'm not dissing it either. Right. That's just not me. I just came here to blow steam off, and you're helping me blow my steam off. So it's
heck
awesome.
Yeah, man. It's great. Yeah. I enjoy the deep talks, man. And you definitely have the deep philosophical ability to go way down the rabbit hole. You know, some people are just surface level, and there's some other people that are an iceberg, you know, and there's depth there.
Yeah, NPCs. What's going on with this?
I'm setting you up. Oh, no. It's that one. It's the other computer.
Oh, because we didn't put Eye of the Beholder on. because it ran way over.
Yeah, totally. So, my bad. Yeah. I'm new. I need a pay cut.
Okay. Oh, it's twice now. I got to exit out. We're messing up here.
Yeah, I don't know.
I
got to
end
that
task. Eye of the Beholder's next. Now I'm going to play it, and it should be boom. Eye of the Beholder. That should be how it's looking now. Yeah, it was that radio. Yeah. Good eye, because I'm looking at this one over here. Going.
Right.
It's technologically advanced around here, folks. I'm telling you. My first radio network that I went to is kind of more analog and a little bit dingier. No TVs in theirs. I was kind of in the little corner. I didn't see nothing going on. And then JR invents a studio in here. It's all digitally technological. We got two screens and eight video screens up top. I could change channels. It's just, you know, Lake Ozark Real Estate of the Art Studios. It's the place to be now.
It's awesome. I love this so much. I feel very lucky to be a part of this, man. I'm so glad to be a part of it. And I can't tell you guys how much I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of this and just for being a part of it. You know, you're in the midst of this shit too. You know, you got boots on the ground and just as invested in it as well. And it's just, this is a great thing. And
it's great to be associated with you on a personal level, just to say, hey, I know Josh, and on a damn radio level, man. Well, I know everybody here is glad that you're here. I know that for a fact.
That means
you add. You definitely add.
Well, thank you.
I don't see how you do it every day,
much,
dude.
But yeah, man. I appreciate it, bud. Thank you so much. That's awesome, man. I just that means a lot.
Definitely, definitely, man. There's no other thing. It could have been. Yeah. So, we got a caller was asking on a subject earlier.
Yeah. He said he wanted to hear us talk about abortion. So I'll just kind of throw out my perspective, and we can chew on it and kind of go from there and go back and forth and just see perspectives. You know, we can either walk away and say, you know, we'll have to agree to disagree, or we can maybe just throw points of view back and forth and maybe just see where logic, you know, or wherever it finds. And so my personal philosophy, you know, is always go as local as you can, give local populations the power. And my thought is that we're never going to be able to switch what California thinks. And when it comes to abortion, everybody has a different point of view. So my point of view is that a life is created when sperm hits an egg. And everybody has different views, like it may be heartbeats, it may be lungs, it may be once it comes out of the body and breathes air then. And you can't change somebody else's perspective. No matter how hard we try, we're not going to be able to make somebody else go, well, now I suddenly see things your way. And so we're not going to be able to make California believe what we want to believe. No matter how hard we try, no matter what we do, it hurts our heart, but we got to acknowledge the fact that New York and California are never going to be pro-life. And that, so we go from that standpoint and go, okay, so now within the country, there's always going to be the ability to have abortions. And it sucks that we may not agree with that, but it's their own perspectives, you know, and that's their perspective. And we all have different ones, and we can't control somebody else's perspective as much as it sucks. And even at the state level, right here in Missouri, we got our cities that want abortion, like Kansas City, St. Louis. It seems like all the major cities seem to be more leftist. And so the way we currently do things is each party seems to switch sides. And that's, I think, the plan for our government in general is that's what keeps us divided. As long as they can keep the power switching every 4 years or 8 years, you know, as long as each side switches. We're going to be able to switch power and say, oh, well, they're bad. No, they're bad. And so instead of, you know, we right now we could work so hard to pass some state law in Missouri to where we protect abortion. But in 4 years, the Democrat Party could come in, completely change that. And now we got a whole new battle. And so every 4 years we can switch who has what. And we're just fighting to control, like we're trying to control St. Louis and then they're trying to control all of us. So St. Louis is going to be able to change what's happening right here in our community. And I'm not OK with that. Mm-mm. So why don't we just do it as a local community? And as much as it sucks, why don't we vote it into effect right where you're standing? And so St. Louis, Kansas City, and the cities, they can have abortion. And the locally, if maybe we go into the cities and rally and try and do what we can, maybe we can stand up locally there and help change the laws. And that's up to us if we want to push for that. But if not, then so be it. And they have their laws that they push in the cities. And then us out here in the country, the rest of the state seems to be pretty red and pro-life. And so why not? And I hate doing the red-blue thing, but the rest of the state seems pro-life. So if we do it on a local standpoint, we would be able to stand up like right here in Camden County and say, look, we are going to, instead of creating our own currency, we're going to pass an initiative that says, no, you can't have abortions. And then we have a local sheriff like Brian Butts that's going to stand up and protect that. And at that point, we the people fix things, and every community and all the people, and now we set it to where it's permanent and to where the only way you're going to be able to change it is on a local standpoint, in which case we can go out and debate. And once that happens again, a boisterous local community can stand up and go, you know, you're trying to change it, but we like it. And so we can always control things on a local level, and that's the way you'd end up seeing it. So instead of changing power every 4 years, we just give power to local communities and let the local communities decide. And from there, we would see a state that where the cities have abortion and the rest of the state doesn't. And that's what would exactly play out to where if every...
I'll tell you why not. Because murder shouldn't be legal anywhere. And I believe, and you believe,
right,
that life begins at conception.
Right.
That's your belief.
Right, right.
So that's murder. We
right.
can't legalize murder. And that's my belief. And I believe that government, the Bill of Rights that you describe, was originated with what, the Declaration of Independence first. And it said life.
Right.
Government is here to protect life, liberty, and the pursuit of property. And we can go on to the rest. But life was number one. Innocent life, you said it earlier.
Oh, yeah.
So war should be the same thing as abortion to you. In my view,
right?
Does absolute truth mean something?
What do you mean?
Because murder is an absolute truth, and murdering the innocent. So I just don't think that we should legal. No, it's not perspective.
It is.
Well, your perspective is what I'm talking about, and your perspective seems to be.
Oh, my perspective.
At conception.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
yeah.
You would legalize murder in another district just because they wanted to murder?
No, but that's what I'm saying. I don't want to legalize murder because that's my perspective.
So
and I don't
therefore,
want that. But I have to come with the logical terms. As much as it hurts, I have to sit down with logic, and I can't live in a, you know, people say that I live in a fancy world, fantasy world where I think I can just create peace in the world. But at the same time, I can't live in a world where I think I can make everybody believe what I want. And so a lot of people believe that the second a heartbeat happens, that is when a life is created. And so there, logically speaking, there is no way I can ever change the rest of the world's perception.
And that's why I asked you if you believed in absolute truth. Because if you believed that was the absolute truth, and that's the thing to die for, is the absolute truth. And that is the thing to make laws about, is the absolute truth. Thou shalt not kill.
But I can't kill people to make sure that they.
I'm not saying. I'm saying there should be a penalty, bro. Like, you murdered something. You can. We force it all over the country. No murder. We already do that. It's a Bill of Rights. But I mean,
it's about
life,
perception. Liberty. That's about perception. Is that no, while you and me believe
some leftists actually will tell you, no, it's murder. Well, but what, I believe even about, Bill Maher says that.
I'll take
no,
it a
it's
step
murder,
further.
But we believe we should
I'll
be able
to
murder.
I'll take it a step further and go past what I believe. So I believe that life starts when the sperm hits the egg. But there are those people out there that believe that if you interfere at all, that's murder. And so if you use a condom, as simple as it sounds, if you use a condom, that's now murder. And where does that stand?
So that's my point. You're willing to put your line over here, and my line is right there where you're saying the actual conception. That's right. It's your line but goes, okay, murder in the next county. My line says no murder nowhere at the point of conception when we can see in the microscope the electric, because that does happen,
right? No,
the
no,
electric
no,
lights
yeah,
up
yeah,
that's
exactly.
life,
and that's our perception. But ooh. But at the end of it all, you have to acknowledge freedom is the most important
to
thing
murder
in this world.
No.
It's not but no. But the murder is
because government
to perception.
Is here to protect
it's
life.
Up to perception. It's whether or not the glass is half empty or half full is all up to how we view it, and you can't make somebody else say that glass is half full when I see it half empty, and you have to see it my way. You can't. That's never going to happen.
Same thing as collateral damage in war. Then we'll just disagree.
Yeah, there you go. I mean,
it's the same thing, but backwards.
son of a bitch.
It is. We're both wrong and right.
but yeah, I mean, I guess we can go that route too. But yeah. I just that's where it becomes for me is that. I don't see a viable solution to where we're going to be able, and even people can go beyond me and say, okay, well, condoms, and now I'm fighting against a whole other group going, well, you know, that's too much. I believe, you know, the spark of when the sperm hits the egg, I think that's when life starts. And they're going, well, no, bro, you're stopping life, and that's against mm-hmm. God or against all this other stuff. And now I'm fighting somebody that's pro-life, more pro-life than I am. You know, I think my personal views are pretty pro-life, but they're more than me. But at the same time, I'm going, well, bro, that's if you take away condoms, then you're going to have all these babies and all this other stuff, bro. Like, that's a bit of a stretch there. And so they're going, well, nope, now you're encouraging death and stuff, and now you're just you deserve to die. And I'm like, well, fuck. We
one
have different
line's
views,
there,
bro.
And one line and so, is a partial birth so, abortion at 9 months.
Right.
So,
and so I got to recognize
we
got to
go in the middle
all,
somewhere.
But if you go at the middle, then you're giving up on what you believe. Mm-mm. If
perception
I go to heartbeat,
is what I believe.
But
that's
if I allow
my line is that spark. Dude.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
but my line is that spark too. But at the same time, if somebody goes before that, well, I'm not going to be okay with that. And then who comes after me? Like the person after me, that's the heartbeat person. Well, they're going to have a different view, and I'm going to be the extreme person now. And so
that's
if,
why I
if
go
I
by literal
ground,
terms life.
If I go in the middle ground with them and say, okay, you know, I'll meet in the middle ground at heartbeat. And then now I've kind of skewed my morals and came off of. And so, but at the same time, it's their free will to believe that. I can't change their free will. You can never change somebody's freedom. Freedom is paramount in this world. And that's why this conversation is the hardest conversation out of all of them, because I am a firm believer in the no victim, no crime policy. And there is a victim. If you kill a baby, that's a victim. And so there is a victim and there is a crime. But at the same time, a person's body is just like the COVID debate. It's the COVID debate where they came in and said, well, we are going to control what you do with your body. And it's like, well, son of a bitch, you're never going to tell me what to do with my body. And so it becomes the same thing as a woman. I can empathize with a woman and go, well, I could see how I would want control over my life and over everything that happens in my life. I would want control over my body, and to where they may, that individual woman may not want to have an abortion, but to where her whole life is in shambles. And like I was talking before, I've seen crack babies born into this world to where they begged me to kill them or begged me to help them kill themselves. And that is a heavy thought, man, that this kid has lived. He was born a crack baby and lived his entire life in a system that was fucking bad. Yeah. You know how bad the system is. Yeah. And he was born into that, never had a chance. And he had a terrible, terrible life. And so somebody, a woman that knows that she's getting ready to give this child that life, and she has the decision to either break her heart and go something against nature and everything else, or to do that. And it's not like she wants to do it. But at the same time, I'm a firm believer in freedom. And I got to go, shit, man, I don't agree with it. But that's still your body. damn it, this sucks. I got to turn my head and I got to allow freedom and I can't control that shit. But you know what I can't control? Right where I'm standing, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to rally and I'm going to stand up for that spark when that sperm hits the egg, and I'm going to do what I can where I'm standing, bro. Well, and I can't control California. I can't control New York, but I can do what I can right here.
Your perspective is winning out right now, because it is that. It's what you're just saying. It's whichever tribe decides to have abortion, they can do it, and that's states' rights. So your perspective is winning out in the country right now in reality. I just hope my perspective wins out in the future. We have no more.
Well, I agree. I would definitely like to see a country with no abortion. I mean, if I had my choice to wave a wand, I would say no abortions or nothing past where the sperm hits the egg, and that's the boundaries, you know. But I have to come That'd to terms awesome with the fact too. That I can't change California. I can't change New York. And it's just, damn it. It sucks.
And I
bro.
Won't come to, that's my difference. Yeah, I won't gonna, come to terms. I'll force their ass.
But how do you force their ass? I mean, do you start killing people?
No, you throw them in jail though for murder. You don't have to have a death penalty to have a,
but they're
going to
stand
punishment.
Up. Because they're going to do the same thing. They're going to stand up and draw the line and say, and then now we're killing kids' and parents. And
no, we're not. We're just throwing people in jail for killing their baby.
Well, when the whole state of California stands up and says, we're not going to allow you to come in our state and arrest us, then what happens then?
Then the gun.
Yeah, that's
the
what I'm saying.
The federal gun is bigger than the state
but
gun.
That's man. And it comes back to violence and perpetuating more violence, and then more lives are lost because of that. And so it's the stickiest situation of all, because it all comes down to perception, and you can't control somebody else's perception. And that's where the hard part is. Yeah. And that's why the abortion debate is the ultimate debate of it all, is because I can settle any other debate and usually win with logic. But with the abortion one, I'm so conflicted from both sides, between my strong stance for liberty and freedom and my strong stance for life. And no victim, no crime. That's where I become conflicted with both, where the no victim, no crime and do unto others and all the shit is at a meeting point to where I'm like, ah, shit.
So you should err on, I'm trying to change your mind here. You should err on what the Declaration said. The government's here to protect life.
Right.
With their force. There's some things that we told government that they have control of force over. Life, liberty, to protect my liberty, and to pursue the property.
But it comes back to perception, the perception of where life
and
is.
And your perception is boom.
Yeah, but mine's not the same as the condom guy. I know. And it's not the same as the heartbeat guy.
Yeah. I'm just trying to get you.
I know. I got you. But life ultimately becomes about perception. And so, like you said, the Constitution says life. So the condom guy is sitting here going, well, life is if you wear a condom, you're stopping life, bro. And I'm sitting here going, no, man, it's when the egg. And so now we have a different definition of life.
I'd rather be on that side of the spectrum with the argument than the other side.
I would too, but at the same time, we got to come to terms with the fact that we all have different, and we can only control where we're at. And
definitely,
damn it, I'm going to control where I'm at. Yeah. You know,
I like that idea.
Yeah,
with you there.
Yeah, and so if we can do it right here, I think it would be a good thing if we put it on a petition and said, "Hey, let's go. Let's right
here
in Cameron County."
They want to board their brightest and best next future statesmen. Let them do it, and our state will be full of nice, fresh babies, full of potential and upward momentum.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's a hard debate to have, and we just did pretty good going back and forth there, man.
Yeah, I hope he's happy.
Heck yeah.
I'm going to play some music here.
Let's hear your favorite Yellow Wolf song, man. I know you love Yellow
Wolf.
Well,
right now, maybe it's my favorite right now.
Yeah.
One of his newer albums. It's Barnfire.
I have not got into much Yellow Wolf, so...
Riff-raff with a big bag. Do you like my real dad? And sit back. These big trucks make a big noise, but that lift kid will never see the mud, boy. Go Travis Barker, drop 100 on a K5. Parking next to something else that I have and I never drive. I'm in my heyday with my melee. I'm eating steak shit, I'm eating gray day. I'm in this place, bitch, I own this place, ayy. The trailer park has got another upgrade. I'm fucking stupid with this shit. I'm talking hillbilly pill popping West Virginian coal miner, stupid with it. Dig it? Y'all don't even get it, but I get it. It's been a minute, but I'm about to drop a mellow in it, yeah. Oh shit. Digs, dripping like a shower head, pipes cracking like a powder keg. Wet paint need a towel, yeah. Another willpower beat comes alive, but now it's dead. I had to kill it. Said he was cooking up, I had to steal it. She got an onion on her, I had to peel it. Then I put a pickle to it and ate a salad with it. I don't give a fuck, make her mad, make him a mad critic. I'm the mad hatter over this planet. You Alice with it, cataclysmic, I crash right into your old dad's Civic in a tricycle spacecraft. Cracking up, laughing at it. Crackers had it with all of my fans packing it like some addicts. Wanna package up this town that is average, I can't have it. I'm the baddest motherfucker since bad became the baddest. Just wait till they get that Michael Wayne class. They gon' be like, oh shit.
Still here with Josh Butterfield, host of SOS. This is now I, the Beholder. I'm Paulie. We're here at Lake Ozark Real Estate State of the Art Studio, live on Damn Radio. At any time, you could call in 573-746-8020. Been having too much fun, so I'm not even going to go into my regular show yet.
Yeah, it's been great.
Yeah, so having good energy back and forth. And
yeah.
This is a lot better than maybe what I had planned.
Nah, I don't know about that. Yeah, I don't know about that.
But I always have time to do that, either later tonight or next week. I could parlay it on. So yeah. I can't parlay on this live event.
Heck yeah, random this live event.
One of a time. Yeah, one of a kind thing. So.
Well, maybe not one of a kind. Hopefully we can kind of continue to do this. Maybe like not it. To this extent, but I mean, yeah. I'm not against
come
it.
Come in 15 minutes earlier.
Yeah,
every time,
if you just want to come in and we can just talk
we'll
about
it. We'll just plan for 15 and 15, and if it goes over, it won't be no big deal.
Yeah, we'll just
we must
match.
Have been having fun.
Yeah, yeah, man. that's what's great about this station. It's all about freedom and just doing whatever the hell we want. So that's why this thing's so badass here, is that we can say what we want, play what we want, do what we want. I mean, freedom.
No FCC.
Yeah,
that's
great.
And that leads me, the FCC, CIA, FDA, EPA, all those A's that we got. It leads me to the next little subject I want to talk to Josh about, and that's my new disgruntlement with Trump's kind of since the Epstein Who thing. And Josh's kind of disgruntlement, maybe from the start with Trump,
yeah,
on not exactly doing, you know, doing some of the big ticket items, maybe busting the economy loose, maybe breaking the deep state bank, but maybe really not. I don't know. We'll see if this crypto thing works out, and maybe doing the border thing, but he's not busting the deep state up. It don't seem, does it?
No, no. And that's why. Oh man, I've not. I just told you that I was worried about having this conversation. I love it. So you just make me jump in with both feet. I love it. Thank you.
That's great too, man.
But
I'm getting there.
I know there's a lot of viewers that are a lot of listeners to this radio show, or not radio show, but radio station, that are definitely Trump supporters. But from the very start, I've always been very standoffish with politicians because I kind of think they're all in bed together. And when Trump first came out, I was like, oh man, this guy's saying all the right stuff. He's saying, you know, what I want. This is good. And then it was when he was running for his campaign in 2016 when he lost me made me flip 360 and not want anything to do with it. And I've been anti-Trump since this very moment, since I heard this speech. And it's word for word. When he was talking about Syria had ISIS over there, and supposedly, you know, I don't know how stuff goes, but you know, deep state and whatnot, but supposedly Obama funded ISIS, and you know, we're over there doing our CIA coups and where we were trying to get our oil or whatever we do, and so that would be logically okay. Obama funded ISIS, you know, we're dealing with this. And so here comes Trump running for president, and I'm like, all right, you know, he's going to talk about ending wars and taking over the deep state and the oil companies that control our currency and everything, you know. And so I'm excited for this. And I remember hearing this speech where he just broke me down completely and lost it all. So it had to do with ISIS. And he goes, word for word, I remember the speech because I've said this 1,000 times. He goes, ISIS, you guys know about ISIS? You know about them guys? Mm-hmm. He goes, you know what I'd do with ISIS? I'd bomb the shit out of them. And you know what I'd do after I bomb the shit out of them? I'd take all their oil and I'd give it to ExxonMobil. You guys see ExxonMobil? They do great things. ExxonMobil, oh yeah, that'd be great. And I'm sitting there going, what the hell did he just say? What did he just say? And so I know who owns ExxonMobil. And ExxonMobil is run by the Rockefellers, who owns Standard Oil, mm-hmm. who got in trouble for monopoly laws in 1908, who then created the Federal Reserve, who now own and monopolized the Federal Reserve, and are the epitome of the deep state. And so that's like if somebody steals my car. If somebody steals my car and the sheriff goes and gets it, and instead of giving it back to me, he says, oh, well, I'm sorry you got your car stolen. I'm going to give it to my buddies, the Rockefellers or ExxonMobil. And that's not how that works. And so he said, I'm going to take – well, first he said, I'm going to violate the Constitution and do an act of war without going to Congress, and I'm going to do it all on my own. So immediately that was unconstitutional. I went, oh, this is shit, because you're doing acts of war without going through Congress, and that's unconstitutional, so that's bad. And then the second thing is that you're going to steal from a country, and instead of giving their oil back to Syria and saying, here, Syria, ISIS stole your oil, that sucks for you guys, here it is back, we're the good guys, you're going to give it to the Rockefellers. Ooh. And third, it's ExxonMobil and the Rockefellers and the epitome of the deep state that you say you're fighting. So now, and that's the thing that gives the deep state all their power, is the oil monopoly they have. And so you're going to take an entire country's nation, entire nation's oil, and you're going to give it to the Exxon and to the deep state. Bro, you don't work for us. And that's the immediate point to where I said, this guy's a wolf in sheep's clothing. He is not for we the people. He's one of them. And this is all bullshit. It's all a show. And then lo and behold, the whole time I was never a fan of Trump, and I'm telling people this is bad. And I was a bad guy, number one. I don't have to tell people in the right how bad the left is because they understand it. But I do have to tell them, you know, how bad Trump is because they're falling for his tricks. And that's what breaks my heart, is because you have all these people who would normally be doing something different and standing up to some shit, and they let it happen. And that's where it comes to Operation Warp Speed and the vaccine mandates and shutting down businesses and doing the most socialist thing ever and handing out checks for everybody. And then you can look, and all the major businesses, it was his transfer of wealth. He killed all the small mom and pop businesses and gave it all to the corporations. Bezos, Musk, every single major corporation doubled their profits, even tripled. tripled of where they were before. They, it was mass amounts of profits for corporate America, and he sold out the entire middle class, all the mom and pops, all of us, everything, all along the way, forced us to get shots, forced us to do all this bullshit. And if it would have been somebody on the left, the Republicans would have flipped over the table and burnt this bitch down. But since it was the right and somebody they voted for, they had the problem of cognitive dissonance and looking inside themselves and realizing, oh, well, I voted for him. And so you got to go against what you fundamentally believe and voted for and say, look, this is wrong. Or you can just keep going with it and say, oh, well, and make excuses and justify what he's doing. And so that happened. And I never once justified it. I flipped tables and was like, fuck this guy. And then he came back around and everybody voted for him again. And I'm going, dude, if it would have been somebody on the left who did what he did, you guys would never even think about voting for them in any way, shape, or form. But since it's him, you're still going to allow it. And now he's ushering in the dollar, which is going, I think that the dollar is collapsing, and he is allowing the Federal Reserve. He signed the orders to let the Federal Reserve, the rate be zero, to where they can just keep lending money to each other indefinitely and burn this system down. And they know it's getting ready to collapse. They know it's getting ready to go down. And they're just prospering and swindling it all the way because they have another system with more control right on the heels with a digital dollar that gives them absolute control, just like the social credit score in China. And they know it's coming, and they already got it monopolized and planned. And so they're going to have more power with the new dollar that they have control over. And that's what they're setting up for. And it's all part of the deep state. They're all connected. They're all buddy-buddy. They're all sleeping together. They're all on the same list. They're all the same people, bro.
And I think you have just epitomized the midterm debacle that the Republican Party is in right now.
Right.
Because Trump is over. And a lot of us, you earlier than me, but I'm starting to see that writing too,
right,
that the deep state is not being taken out.
Mm-mm.
And I'm kind of getting worried. It's, yeah, you know,
he's a wolf in sheep's
clothing. Only one, I mean, 1 year us, and it's midterms. Is anybody going to have any stomach before the midterms to do anything drastic? It doesn't look like it. So it looks like the CIA, FBI, CIA, all that shit still runs shit. They still getting funded, more funding this year than they had the last. Israel is leading us around by the nose. That's the real master puppet. The government of Israel is leading us around the nose. That's the Rockefeller, Rothschild's, you know, dream. Red Shield to Rothschild. You know, their first name was Red Shield. It was Red Shield, the name of the bank. And the son of the founder changed his name to Rothschild because the bank was the Red Shield Bank. But yeah, and father branched them out to other, you know, England Bank and France, and that's how they became. But yeah, they run things. They ran, they invented the State of Israel.
Right.
Although, you know, and this is just,
and so
we're being led around, and MAGA,
I hear a lot
is
of
breaking because of what you're saying right now.
Right.
The young crowd ain't having it. I would, like you said, you flip tables. I would rather burn it down than vote for another Republican behind Trump. He's not running again. His coattails are dead.
Right.
These Republicans better realize that. The younger generation that voted for Trump, for MAGA, they're not coming back just for okie doke because they read the writing on the wall just like you did earlier.
Right.
And we're being run.
Right.
By those families.
And I love the things he says. I mean, he says a lot of good things, but they don't ever come to fruition, and the big things don't ever hit.
Mm-hmm.
All the big things are exactly the opposite of what we need. He may have us divided on this other little shit, and like I said, it's a magic trick. You know, there'll be this, all this other shit and all these posturing and hoops and mirrors, but at the final day, all the same shit that gives the deep state and all the entities their power, he does
That's
the exact
my,
thing
yep.
that gives them the more power.
Yep.
And so what the fuck? You're a wolf in sheep's clothing.
That's where I'm at with the whole like, party, with the whole Republican Party.
And so,
you say you're against these things, but then you vote the FBI more money.
And I think they're all in it together.
They were all listening to your phone calls, Republican Senator.
Right.
But you voted yes for more money to listen to your phone calls that you're supposed to be mad about.
Right.
And it's our own party doing it to us.
But it's beyond the own party because the only way you can become elected for president is to have a billion-dollar campaign. Like him and Biden, they both had billion-dollar campaigns. Him and Obama, billion-dollar campaigns. If somebody comes in as a grassroots guy with zero campaign funds, they don't stand a chance. And so we, the people, don't have control of the system until we take money out of it. And until we take money out of it, we have to realize that shit's corrupted and lost. And so the only chance we have is to do it locally because we can't control that shit. Until we take the money out of it, it's lost. It's lost. That's the only way we're ever going to get control back.
Everybody agrees to get the money out, but nobody can find a way to actually do it and
so that's
fund
where
the thing, you know, so, fund the campaign, the thing.
That's where I'm at. I created a petition. I'm writing this in my book. I've created this. So every day I barely work, man. I do little side jobs here and there, and I've made very little bit of money in the last 2 weeks because I wake up first thing in the morning and I write my book and I come and do the show, and then I go home and I might play some video games with my buddies for a minute, just try and decompress. But then I'll still late at night be typing until midnight. You know, I'll do a couple hours at night, and I'll usually do definitely 5-6 hours in the morning. And then, I usually get at least 10 to 12 hours a day typing on my book. And I've been doing this every day for weeks now, since Thanksgiving Day.
Cool.
And trying to get this produced out. But so I just look at problems and I look for solutions, search for solutions. And so my idea is to create a petition. And on this petition, we the people hand it out. And let's say we get a federal petition to where we can get the whole country. I know it sounds crazy, but this will be a 100% real grassroots effort, not a George Soros bullshit, to where people can actually grasp this in their minds and feel it in their soul, and to where people will go out in their own yards and make signs for this instead of having signs in the whole system, like grassroots, where people make signs and make this happen on our own, to where we go stand out in front of Lowe's and hold signatures because it's something we believe in, not because Soros is paying us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we create a petition that says any politician that takes any money in any way, shape, or form, be it lobbyists, be it campaign contributions, be it signing petitions, it doesn't matter. If there's money in politics, that's considered a bribe, and you are now going to go to jail for a year at the minimum if you take money in any way, shape, or form. So now politics is completely out of it. So completely out of it. And so at that point, we now have a system that is fully 100% functional. And we start, like I said, at a grassroots level to where we do divisional elections. And right here locally, anybody who wants to be president, it's hard, but it's definitely how it will work. It will work efficiently and very well. From now on, we'd say, let's say the 5th of November. Remember the 5th of November. It's easy to remember. Mm-hmm. And so every year on the 5th of November, we have elections. And even in our local elections right here, they're pitiful. People don't show up for like the school board or anything like that. We get like a 6% turnout of the entire population. So if we put all voting for the year on the same day, November 5th, it doesn't matter whether it's small, big, all of it, November 5th. So we start out and we elect local people from right here. So if I want to run for president, you want to run for president, we go against each other, we put the political resume online at the county clerk's office. The county clerk has it there. They have our phone number. People can call us. And we also have debates, to where we sit around and have debates at a table. That's level one. That's year one. The second year, we go and we pick everybody in a county. So if I win Camden County, I am now the Camden County winner. So for year two, I go against other counties. And in Missouri, there's 8 districts for like elections and stuff. You know what I mean? There's like eight districts that Missouri is divided into. So each district, let's say we have Morgan, Camden, Miller, Montauk, whatever. We got like six different counties. That district. So now me as Camden County winner, and then all the other winners from those counties go to a new level. And we all, once again, the guy from Miller County, he's on our county clerk's website right here in Camden County. And you can go, you can look right here in Camden County at the guy in Miller County and look at his resume, call him up. And then we all sit down and have debates, our open style debates with 3 strikes and all that same shit, to where it's no moderator, it's just us. And then that's year two. Year three, it becomes the 8 congressional districts. Whoever wins the district for like Montauk, Miller, all of us, now we have 8 for the state of Missouri. And at that level, that would be basically year two at that point. Because the first year, second year, the third year is going to be 2 years from the time. And so that's the levels that we can vote for governor. So that's how we get a grassroots governor. So I gave the example of president, but let's say you ran for governor, and at the same time we're having these same elections, and you won locally here in Camdenton for governor, then you won the 8 districts into the ad, and then now you're on the third year at the state level. And now we've decided a governor completely 100% grassroots, no money involved whatsoever.
He was consistent through the 3 years, so that showed his fortitude.
Well, it's,
you know, it kind of attests right. of the candidate itself right. to exactly. the system.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. so that candidate has stood the test of time and started from a 100% grassroots. And now we've picked our candidates based on morals and ideas and who can sit down at a table and conduct themselves with business and show us and prove to us that they can have heated debates and do what's right and come out logically or whatever. And then from there, for the bigger governments on year four, we go ahead and do states and have, let's say, 10 states compete against each other. So it would be Missouri goes against Kansas, Iowa, Illinois, and all that stuff. So we do 10 states. That's year four. And then the fifth year, we take all the winners from the 10 states and have them go, and we do that for president. And cool. so now we have created a president based on 100% grassroots campaigns that has zero money involved in no way. It's never been touched.
In a six-year cycle.
A four-year cycle. It's a four-year okay. cycle. So the way that, would – huh? So it would be the first year is local. Hmm. The second year is districts. The third year is the winner of the districts and goes to state. And so the third year is technically the second year of voting. You follow me?
Yeah, yeah.
And then the fourth year is the states. And then the fifth year, technically it's the fifth year of voting, but it's year four. And so on the fifth year, this is where it gets a little tricky, is that we're going to have to vote for president twice. So we're going to vote for president as the winner
like
from
the
previous before, who's in the winner of all the states. That's mm-hmm. going to be the presidential winner that we're going to vote for the main president. And then we're also going to be voting on a local level for a whole new set of local people.
Around to come up.
To come back up. And then after every 4 years, whoever's got the seat in president, they got the automatic. They get to sit down with all the other winners from the new 4 years. And every four years, we get a whole new set of grassroots people. And we get the winner of the previous, and they all sit down, and we can either be happy with the winner we had before, mm-hmm. or we can vote somebody new in. Yeah, and it's 100%, and it's a four-year cycle, and we only vote once a year. And everybody knows to vote on the 5th of November, and
That'd
we vote
nice.
For all of our local, we vote for all of our state, and we vote for all of our federal, all at the same time.
One election day
all at the
would
same
be
time.
Awesome.
One election day.
Let's just go back to that.
And then from
just
there.
Just start. Let's right. just go back to that for
right.
starters
right, right,
next
right.
year.
Right, right. And then from there, we do so how do you count the votes? And that's a really fucking hard one, bro. Like I've had to think about that one a lot. And so we make it to where all the counting of the votes is done at where the voting is done. The votes never get transported, they never get moved, they never get touched, they never go into anything. If they go into a box or whatever, that box is 100% recorded by the public and seen by the public at all times. Nobody ever does not see a recording of people handing their ballots into that box. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And then that box is opened, and the first people to touch it are the county clerks. The county clerks touch it, they look, they count all the votes, and they count it, and between them, they do multiple counts. And if the counts are close, they do another recount, start all over. If it's not, and they all agree, then it goes to the leader of the Republican and the Democrat Party. Mm-hmm. Locally, we pick people who we want to represent our parties, and they go to the polling booths, and they verify the counts, the handwritten counts that the clerks just did. They do it in person and do it right there. And if their numbers are off, then we go back, we look at the video, and do it just like a Chiefs play, and look at the video and say, did somebody cheat this system? Did somebody cheat this box? Or did you just mess up counting?
Yeah.
And then we count the votes again. And at that point, you now have a true voting system that can't be cheated and monopolized. You have a true tangible way to have voter integrity and, you know, and you put the people, put us in charge, you know, give us the power back, and you can't cheat that shit. And so from there, that's the all this to get down to my first petition item.
Like,
so so we create a petition that says we take all money out of politics. And so taking money out of politics, I have to explain how to get to the voting system and all that. So petition item number one that we pass, no money in politics. Number two, right now they said that 700 bills have been introduced in Missouri right now. That our politicians are in our 700 bills, and we know that they're never going to get passed. We know it gets run by all lobbyists. We know it's a buddy-buddy club. And so they take it. It's all bullshit.
Waste.
It's all bullshit. So why not just take it and say, look, one bill per representative per session. That's all you get, guys.
Yeah,
you get
like
one bill. And you're going to have to take that shit real seriously. You can't just politic it up and do whatever. That bill means a lot more to you now. And from there, the bill can't be 1,000 pages long of bullshit. It's got to be 10 pages and do on the same subject. 10 pages on the same subject. That's going to be the third petition item. You know, mm-hmm. we got number one, no money in politics. Number two, a bill per session per representative. Number three is going to be no bills over 10 pages long. The fourth one is that petitions are going to be honored and not manipulated, because right now petitions go through the government, like the medical marijuana. When we first passed that and all that stuff, I was part of it, and they manipulated the bill to give corporations and the bigger people more power. I kind of went back and forth on me, said it wasn't a thing, but I was part of the movement and I know it was. And so,
yeah, I heard Wednesday night.
Right. Yep. Right. And so I know it was. I wish I could do some more research, but I'm so busy writing my book that I've kind of broken away from trying to prove points and do all that stuff, but I know it's a thing, you know?
Yeah.
And so if we make it to where the people's petitions get passed. 9/11.
I'm trying to think of all the things that, mentioned Ike again, man, and he put it back in my head. So that's 9/11. He don't believe 9/11. He's like, well, we don't know. Well, I said one day to him, you know, some people here don't even know that it was an inside job. He looked at me, we don't know that. I was like, dude, what do you mean? So 9/11, I mean,
we got our own perspectives.
Weed, no liberty. He's anti-liberty when it comes to weed. He's anti-liberty when it comes to casino. And now they're going to get a casino shoved down their throat. The Indian one's going to come anyway. Isn't that so funny? They vote no, and the Indian one comes. We're going to get what we want to get. That's liberty, dude. Anyway. Yeah.
And so the petition.
I'm sorry.
No worries. But the petition is going to be the one that runs everything. And so our petitions that we the people pass can't be modified by them, and it goes straight into law. And so if we pass a petition, we the people stand up, it goes into law, and they don't get to touch it, manipulate it. And from their executive orders, man, like the NDAA, the Patriot Act, can even look at
the
Trump.
Anti-Patriot Act. Trump, they re-signed it. They signed it right back into law. Yeah.
Right. But they just go back and forth. And so any president can undo previous executive – any president can do – an executive order is a law. And a president can create any law they want. And that's a – if history shows us one thing, we can look at history and say all throughout history – greed is prevalent in mankind. Greed's inside of us. We can look at police in Mexico stopping people and robbing them. We can look at local people. We can look at federal. We can look at Rome and Caesar. We can look at any point in history and say, look, greed's inherent in us as humans. And if that's there inside of us, at any given point, any given system could be corrupted. And so if we give one person all the power, that is setting up ourselves for failure until greed is out of mankind and humanity. Giving one person all the power is a recipe for disaster, because if they ever go corrupt, we're fucked. What are we going to do to overcome them? And so that's why socialism is a bad idea, because that's the only way socialism works, is by giving the government all the power. And so that's why it's a failure, is because eventually somebody's going to become corrupted and abuse that power. And so that's why the president having absolute power to pass executive orders and do whatever they want is unfathomable. And that's why we constantly have battles going every 4 years to where they just, oh, well, my executive order overrides that one and does this shit. So we're going to nip that shit in the ass right there.
That'd be nice.
And say, okay, you're not allowed to do that anymore. Instead of having executive orders to where you can do whatever you want, you get bills, and you can now write a bill and then give it over to the Senate and say, hey, Senate, would you pass this for me? And hey, House, would you pass this for me? And now they get to run it through them, and it's a system of checks and balances to where they can look at shit and go, you know what, you might be a little corrupt there, fucker. I'm not okay with what you're doing.
You're hitting it, and that's why they're pissed. That's why they're pissed because Donald Trump, those levers of power that came from the Constitution, and we wrote them all off into laws up to the executive branch.
Right.
So the FDA, CIA, all those agencies are in the executive branch. So all the legislative branch wrote their power away to the executive branch through these agencies, right? Because they were supposed to govern all this stuff, air, water, the legislators,
right?
Not the FCC, FDA, right?
Right.
So they're mad because Trump took them levers of power. And he is doing some things that they don't want done. The closing of the border, you know, the economic stuff he's doing.
You know the
golden
ticket executive order he has, right? Did you see that? I was looking through his executive orders the other day, and I seen a golden ticket one. And I was researching executive orders. I'm like, what the hell is this? And the golden ticket of executive order says that if you have $1 million and you're
a citizen. I kind of like that one. I kind of like that one. Hey, because hear me out. They made that the game. See, I'm one that's going to play the game they made. You made this the game. At least my guy went in there not doing everything, I admit. But at least he's doing 50% of the things I wanted him to do through the game they made. Right or wrong, whether it be right or wrong. I'm in Realville. So my shark went up there and is playing at least half the game when none of the others even did 50% of what I wanted. At least I'm getting a little bit of what I wanted out of their stupid, rotten game. What you're doing is you're pointing out that this game is stupid and rotten.
Yeah.
And we all agree on that.
Exactly.
But you're trying to cutting to the chase of trying to fix it when I'm just trying to live in the world.
I'm breaking down the walls that make the powers. I'm trying to aim for the solutions instead of doing the near Duke reacting and being somebody pissed off at somebody. I'm like trying to figure out what made this happen. Mm-hmm. You know?
The power.
And so the golden rule, I do see the cartels obviously have a lot of money. So if somebody from a cartel that runs a cartel had $1 million and said, hey, I want one of them golden tickets that you got, bro, and now we got all the cartel members that we're not vetting and doing all, and we've now given them all the power.
But we got the broke ones instead. That's where I'm at. We already do. We got all the bad ones, though. At least I get the one that's going to add to the economy not take.
Back to the executive
board.
You're right.
What you're saying.
Right.
But I'm saying...
But the executive orders give one person too much power. So
Agreed.
In order to overcome the executive orders, we take that away. And there's these things called executive decisions, which the president can still run departments how he wants to see fit. He can make executive decisions. He can run all the shit. So he's still going to be the leader in charge because all laws, bills through the House and the Senate, he has to sign off on. So it goes through him. He's the top guy. And we're going to give him, instead of one bill per session like we give all the other lawmakers, we're going to give the president or the governor, either one, whoever's in charge, we're going to give them one bill per month that they can introduce. And so they're going to get through their term, they're going to get 48 bills that they're going to be able to introduce. So that gives them a lot of power. They're still in charge. They still have all the power, but they don't have unlimited power to where they can do whatever they want and create the NDAA and create the Patriot Act and take all of our freedoms and shit all over us. Like, no, you guys can't do that anymore. And no, you're not going to be able to just switch power every 4 years and say, oh, well, I don't like everything the previous president did. I'm going to go ahead and change it all. And every 4 years, we got presidents just doing whatever the fuck they want with executive orders.
The pen,
we can't do
that.
And
it goes
wishy-washy. No. We're going to take that power completely away and end that bullshit there. And so then comes the idea of emergencies. You know, you're going to have emergencies pop up to where earthquakes or fires or whatever. And so if an emergency happens, the president gets to produce an emergency bill and the rest of Congress have 24 hours to sign off on it. And that decides the emergency bills. And so that's going to be my fourth solution. And then my fifth solution was going to be the justice box. You remember the justice box for checks and balances? We include that in the petition as well. So we have these five items on a petition, and we the people create this petition. That's it. There's five items. There's the one of take all the money out of politics. It's a bribe. There's the one of no bills. Oh, you get one bill per representative. You get ten pages. You get the petition, put the power back in the people's hands, and you do away with the executive orders, and you do the jury, the justice box. I guess that's six or whatever. So those six items, and that's real simple. And we put it, and then from there, that's a grassroots bill. And I'm going to call it We the People Bill. That's what our petition, to where We the People have a petition, and it's no longer written by Soros or these money-hungry lobbyist bullshit, all that. It's We the People, and we're going to do grassroots, and we're going to go out. I'm going to go stand in front of Lowe's myself, and I'm going to encourage maybe you to go to Home Depot or we're going to do it, and hopefully the rest of the country does it. And if we all do it, we're going to stand up and flip this fucking table.
Yeah, let me know when that petition. I'll take a copy around. I meet a lot of people around.
Yeah, man. So I'm busting my ass right now to get this book going because it's going to be. They gave me two options. They gave me basically a country option, and it's $1,200 to do that, or $2,400 to put it across the world to where they're going to publish it and put it in different languages. So the second that somebody says, I want this book, they print it and ship it out, and I don't have to mess with it.
Nice.
And so it's completely, it's all done by Meridian Book Company. That's okay. where I ended up getting it through.
Yeah,
Meridian is pretty popular, so that's where I'm having published my book. And so I've already reached out to them. They're on standby saying, I was supposed to give it to them because I had my copy of it before, but I didn't have all this new shit that I got right now.
Yeah.
And all the shit that I've been, like, me talking with you guys and doing this stuff, I've learned so many solutions and thought about solutions just doing this show right now.
Yeah.
And I'm flipping it over and putting it in my book. And so I'm doing all I can to build this right now. But if I can get it published, the second I get it published, then I'm going to take all this other shit to the next level, and I'm going to start doing a lot more shit. I do a lot on Facebook, and I got a little bit of a footprint there. I'm not trying to like brag or trying to sound cool or anything, but I have a little bit of an outreach there.
Nice.
And I can do things there. And so hopefully I'll have hope that once I get that book going, I'm going to be able to do
get
things.
Get it finished. Yeah.
And
first things first, get it finished. And then
yeah, exactly. And right I eat, sleep, and breathe everything doing that right now. And I'm this close, man. I'm days away, but I'm stuck in addiction right now. I didn't have addiction in my first one, and addiction is a very fucking hard thing to try and figure out solutions to, bro. But I mean, that would be a whole another 2-hour show if we went into that one.
Yeah.
But that's where I've been stuck on that for 3 days. But I mean, I'm getting close to the end of the book, and when I do, I think that's going to be seriously a handbook to freedom and peace, and that's why I called it such.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the cure to what we need in this world is freedom and peace, and that's going to fix it all. And
well,
we just
I'm
gotta
glad
figure
we
out
did
how to
this,
get to
Josh. That's awesome. I want to, when it's done, let me know.
Yeah,
let
man.
Me know.
I'll give you.
I'm all
I got
in, man.
So I originally printed a rough copy when I started last year. Like I said, years ago, 17 years ago, I had a boy born premature. He was here for 5 weeks, and when he passed away, I was able to hold him in my arms, and I promised him I'd do all I could. And that was a heavy moment, man. That was a real heavy moment. And I promised him I'd do all I could to try and help the world. And I never really felt like that, you know. When I got Juan Paul, his theories of peace and all this other shit. Like I watched the Republican Party boom for the saying the golden rule, you know. He's like, oh, I think we should believe in the golden rule, do unto others and bring all our troops
home. I remember
home.
That
and,
too,
and they
man.
Booed him. And I'm like, fuck this, you know.
Yeah, I remember
and,
that.
And so I've became
funny, man.
I've became super hyper focused on trying to keep my promise to my boy. And me and my ex-girlfriend, we split up a couple years ago, and I was standing there. My kids are all but grown, and you know, I've always been like coaching their baseball and doing everything and so involved, and I have like this empty nest syndrome to where I'm like, oh shit, I miss my kids, they're not around anymore, and I'm just all alone in this world. What am I going to do with my life? And I got to thinking about it, and I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to keep my promise to my son. And so I wrote a book, I ran for sheriff, and I started a YouTube page the same day, all on the same day. And my goal for the YouTube page was to do a positive video a day. And I did that for an entire year. I made 365 videos in 1 year. And I basically gave up everything I own. I gave up everything I own to do it. And I printed 200 copies of that book. I printed it, and I tried to print it here, but they wouldn't be able to print it in town here. But I ended up doing it in Jeff City. So I got 200 copies of
damn,
my rough
that's
draft.
A lot, though.
And I handed them copies out. I mean, I went to North Carolina, and when I was volunteering out there, I gave copies to people all over. Oh. Is that my phone? Where's that phone from?
It's my phone.
Oh.
Duh. I'm looking down right at it.
So I just that's the point is I rushed, and I didn't have the book as good as I wanted, but I had a day to where I had to file to run for sheriff, and I had all this stuff coming down on me, and so I just did it all at once, and I just published it and half-assed did it.
Man.
So I have 200 copies of the first edition of, and hopefully one day that's going to be a collector's edition, and everybody who I gave one to,
we'll
but I mean, I gave them all around the country, bro. Like I handed them out like candy all around the country to people all over. And so Now I've refined it, and I'm really trying to make it a lot better and hit on things that I missed before, and I'm going to republish it, and this is version two. So awesome. I'm getting there. I'm really close, man. And I when I called him on Thanksgiving, I'm like, yeah, I'm ready to send it to you right now. Just let me make a couple little tiny modifications before I send it to you. And now here we are 2 weeks later, and I'm 180 little hours tiny in. And I stare at this fucking, I do it all on my phone, and I stare at the screen until my eyes get so blurry. I have to get up and walk around, and I'll be walking and everything's just blur. Like it's just crazy. Yeah. Like I'm in another dimension. It's so hard. And then I do eye exercises and swirl my eyes around and get it to where I'll take a shower or something and then go back to typing. But that's my life, man. That's how I've been grinding for the last. But I'm gonna be excited. I'll give you a copy, man, and we'll be able to just look at it, man, and see. Hopefully, like I said, I'm not saying my ideas are perfect, but I think we need to open up the conversation. Insanity's doing the same thing over and expecting different results. And we've been doing the same thing over for so long. And it's just like, this isn't working. This isn't working. We're not getting anywhere. We're spinning our damn wheels. They feed us full of shit and then do the opposite of what they say. And I think that they know that because they play on our pride. And they say, oh, well, we're going to have Democratic people say one thing, and then they're going to do Republican shit, and the Democrats are going to be okay with it. And then Republicans are going to say, well, we're going to have Republicans say all this bullshit, but they're actually going to do Democrat shit. And the Democrats are going to be – or the Republicans are going to be okay with it because they're not going to question their pride and what they did. And so now they just know that, and that's why we just continually point spin at each our other. Yeah, and we all fight, and that's why I'm like, we need to stop fighting and realize who the enemy is and break this system down and come for solutions instead of just being mad at somebody. We need to work for the solutions, man. And I'm not saying it's perfect, but let's sit down and have an open table.
Yeah,
let's do
talk
it.
Like,
let's
talk tonight.
Search of solutions, man. This is great. Right. I love it. This was a heavy talk, man. Thank you so much for. I'm sorry to monopolize your show,
problem.
Bro. I've been here the whole 2 hours.
No problem.
Oh, man.
I was wanting to kind of add to what I was going to say tonight. It's an important subject, so I'm going to add it to next week.
All right.
I'm just going to do, the show I was going to do tonight next week.
Cool.
Dude, it was not a waste. I love it.
Awesome, man.
I'd have said take a hike if I wanted to take a hike. I wanted to stay.
Right. And I can handle that. I got thick skin, man. If you ever want to tell me to take a hike or if I get too deep down the rabbit hole, just be like, man, Josh, I need a break, bro. And I'll understand. You know, I get it. We all have it, but this has been great.
I think the subject I was going to mainly hit on tonight is going to be there next week anyway, and it'll be more information I'll have, and it'll be great. So I'm going to go ahead and end my show here.
Awesome.
It's been the Eye of the Beholder with Josh Butterfield and Pauly. I'm just going to end it here. I really had to leave at 8. I thought I could stay a little longer, but then I remembered something. So I got to leave at 8, but I'm going to go through the schedule. Of course, Monday is going to be a new time with Sam Trapp at 7:30 a.m. I have been able to listen to him a lot more this week. I think I listened to him 3 times, and that's more than I was able to when he was on at night. So that was a good move for me. I know a lot about the Ukraine and Russia now, a lot more than I did earlier this week. 11 o'clock Monday is Shield Maidens of Missouri. 2 o'clock, A Really Big Shoe. That's every day. And then 4 o'clock, of course, Search of Solutions with Josh Butterfield. 6 on Monday is Jack Carr Show. Tuesday, International Flavor at 7:30. A Really Big Show at 2. Search of Solutions again at 4. On Wednesday, it's 7:30 with Sam Trapp, International Flavor again. The Damn Swag. On Wednesday at 9, Gabby Hayes Show at 11. 2 o'clock, A Really Big Show. SOS at 4 with Josh and Ike Skelton at 6. That's the big Wednesday. Next Thursday, International Flavor at 7:30 a.m. 2 p.m., Really Big Show. Search of Solutions at 4. I don't know how y'all do it every day. I don't. Friday, International Flavor at 7:30. Nadine at 9. That's a great show. A Really Big Show at 2. SOS next Friday at 4. And then I'll come in a little early. And we'll just try to do a half an hour together next time.
Yeah.
15, 15, and 15.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'll be back at 6 next week. So we'll see you next week, folks. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for having me on the show, brother. I appreciate you, man.
No problem, man. It's been great.
Yeah, man.
I look forward to next week.
Yeah, man. This is really awesome. This is really great. Thank you.
Heck yeah. See y'all next week.
See you guys. Mm-hmm.